Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider the fact that you're still hanging out with us a sign of intelligence. We got, we're still trying to get Dr. Herlzinger on the show. She's one of our healthcare experts, and so I think she'll be coming along in just a few minutes. But I want to continue what I was talking about at the beginning, at the top of the hour, and sort of just give you a little bit of a heads up on where things are with regard to the healthcare debate. Folks, I know that you only care about your own healthcare and your ability or inability to provide it for yourself and for your employees, and that's great. That's fine. That's exactly why I'm talking about what I'm talking about. But in order to improve our situation, mine and yours, in order to improve that, in my opinion, we've got to do it, or not just in my opinion, but it's a fact, we've got to do it at the macro level. We've got to do it at the federal government level. Because all the states have their own insurance commissioners. And each one of those guys have or gals have their own agenda, every state has its own agenda and all the politics that are involved. And you know, I work for small business owners across the country and around the world, but especially in North America, in the United States, I should say. You know, I want small business owners to have access to health insurance that makes sense for them. And what happens is, we wind up with the kind of health insurance that we're relegated to have from our state offices, the state insurance commissioner. So the only way, and see what happens in some states, for example, in New York State, I think it is, there are a lot of mandated coverages that most people just can't afford, and even if they needed them, but. How about if you don't need those coverages? What if you don't want to pay for podiatry? You don't want to include that into your policy. What if you don't want to pay for in vitro fertilization? If you're my age and you know you're a long way away, you and your mate are a long way away from any kind of in vitro fertilization. You know, being a customer for that, right? Why would I pay for that? Why should that be mandated in my plan? Well, one of the ways to solve this, folks, is by making the programs, the insurance programs, available across state lines so that you can buy a plan. If you live in New York, you can buy a plan that's a national plan, not just one that's approved for the state of New York. And that has to conform to the state of New York or the state of Massachusetts or the state of Iowa or California or whatever, wherever, that conforms to that. And so these are this market-driven solutions for healthcare, and in my opinion, what is currently called small business health plans, which Senator Mike Enzi out of Wyoming, I guess it is, the one that he's been pushing for a number of years, we've got to get that kind of thing through. But let me tell you something, folks. And so as you know, I haven't forgotten about my presidential campaign theme that I started out with. That is the opposite. What I just said is the opposite of universal health care that some people are proposing. And we're going to see what Regina Herzlinger says about that. She's here right now. And as you know, folks, you've heard her on my show before. She is the author of Who Killed Health Care? She's also a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and she's here to talk to us about this issue. Regina, welcome back to the show.
Yes, good morning.
It's good to have you back. I've been, while we were waiting on you to join us, Regina, I was talking to them about my audience, about my thoughts on the what I'm calling the small business health plans approach, being able to buy health care across state lines.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That would get rid of these mandates. You know, that's like having to buy a car with a heated seat, and you say, gee, heated seats are nice, but they cost $2,000. No thanks, I don't
need it. Well, okay, let me throw one more in there, Gina. You live in Key West. What do you need a heated seat for? But if Florida mandates that, you got to buy one.
Absolutely.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're right back. We're going to have a lot of good stuff from Regina Herzlinger right after these messages. Stay with us. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame.
Life goes on day after day. Hearts torn in every way.
Little Jerry and the Pacemakers there for you from the Wayback Machine.
So ferry across the Mersey.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Regina Herzlinger is our guest and has been with us before. We're glad to have her back. She's the author of Who Killed Healthcare? She's also a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She's also a professor at Harvard University. And Regina, who killed healthcare?
Well, in a way, we killed healthcare because you and I and everybody who's listening to you, we pay for healthcare. We are the source of the $2 trillion we now spend. But instead of taking care of it ourselves the way we do for our houses, our cars, our food, we turned it over to the government and said, yep, you spend it for Medicare and Medicaid. And then we turned it to our employers and say, you know what, yep, you buy your health insurance for me. But there's no way that those guys are going to buy what we want at a price we're willing to pay. So people thought, wow, this is all free. They forgot that they paid for all of it. They kept asking for more and more. And legislators across the country kept mandating benefits. Hospitals got very, very greedy, and they became monopolists or oligopolists in many mm-hmm. areas. And the insurance companies, well, they didn't like offering a lot of products. Why the heck? Nobody would like to do that if you can
right.
sell only one kind of car rather than lots of them.
Right.
So all these people, but mainly the insurers, the hospitals, and the government, killed health care. But the fault is really with us. We let them do it.
Well, you know, and I don't think I know I didn't tell you this, but I have mentioned it on the show once before. I had a procedure, surgical procedure done, I guess, about a couple months ago. Just a test. It was nothing. I don't have anything wrong with me. That you know, no medical thing anyway. The mental part, I can't vouch for that. But the medical thing, I'm fine. But it wasn't just a test that you have run. It was a colonoscopy. I'll just say what it is. It was. I had a colonoscopy, and I have my organization and my family has an HSA, a health savings account. And so I called the doctor and I said, I'm self-insured, which basically is what HSA means. You're self-insured up to a certain amount, and then the major
right.
medical takes over after that.
Right.
So I called the doctor and I said, look, I'm going to pay for this myself. What's the price? And they gave me a price, and I knew it was significantly discounted from what the insurance is quoted.
Yeah.
I called the hospital. I said, here's what I'm going to have done. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to write you a check myself. What's the price? It was 40%. I got a 60% discount just for asking and for writing the check. 60%.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Think
so
about
that
this
shows
now.
What individual consumers can do if they go out and act the way they normally do, which is they try to get the best value for the money. But when everything is insured, and when you're insured even for things you don't want, you may start using those things just because you're insured for them.
We've got to stop being patients only and start being consumers of healthcare. Not,
absolutely.
Not recipients of healthcare, but consumers of healthcare. Now, one thing that's interesting about you, Regina, among the many things that are, is that you actually are a resident of Massachusetts. And your former governor, Mitt Romney, whom I've met and whom I've heard speak about the healthcare program, what he called it a universal healthcare plan, his version of this, which was very intricate, and it sounded like a great idea, but what happened was once they got down to putting this thing into place, politics took over, and a lot of the mandates that he wanted to take out of this plan got put back in by the legislature.
Absolutely, the plans became gold plated. So, you know, whether you wanted a heated seat or not in your car, you got it in Massachusetts. Whether you wanted certain benefits or not, you got them. There's no high deductible option.
And everybody pays for it, whether you can use it or not.
Yeah. So as a result of that, 20% of the uninsured who originally were required to buy health insurance, these plans are so darn expensive, they've excused them. The second thing that happened is Governor Romney said, look, we're paying $1.2 billion for safety net hospitals, and these are hospitals that are supposed to treat the uninsured. Let's take mm-hmm. that money away from them and give it to the uninsured so they can buy health insurance. That's a neat plan. But the hospitals are politically very powerful, so the money got taken away from them. Plus, in Massachusetts, we're now paying for those who are newly insured. And I don't mind that they're newly insured. God bless them. We're all God's children. But they're getting gold-plated plans. So this thing is just killing the budget.
So it was a good marketplace idea, but when politics got involved, it turned really ugly.
Absolutely. And
that's basically what happened.
That's what happened in Massachusetts, and there's
and
only
that's one. isn't that exactly what would happen with a national universal health care plan?
It would be could be even worse. Could be at least in Massachusetts, there's some choice of plans, but you know, in the UK and Canada, there's no choice. You take the insurance the government gives you, so it could be much much worse than that. And with national health insurance, could be run by the government. These things are run by private payers.
Think about that, folks. This is what would you know. My question when we come back, I'm going to ask Regina is, would the universal health care plans that are being proposed by some candidates, would that be the equivalent of nationalizing an industry? We'll talk about that right after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Jimmy to take us out. The late, great godfather of soul, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Brown, bringing us back. Classic. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Regina Herzlinger, and she is the author of Who Killed Healthcare? Regina, tell us where we can find your book.
You can find it on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble. And it's a bestseller in all its categories. It's been reprinted a number of times. Thank you so much for plugging it and mentioning it.
Well, I like doing it because it's an important book. And folks, you heard about the bestseller part, and you know that tracks perfectly. As you know, you won't be surprised to hear that because, as you know, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate show. Only the best for my audience, Regina. And I want to thank you for holding up my promise on that. We've got two candidates running right now for president. That both basically have their own variation of what's typically called universal health care or single-payer, government-run health care programs. Am I overstating that? Am I correctly stating that? Straighten that out for me.
Superficially, both Hillary and Obama offer people choice. And they say, Obama says, you're going to go to a store I run, It's going to be like the Massachusetts store, and you'll be able to buy health insurance plans in that store. Why the government has to run a store, I don't know, but that's his plan. Hillary would require you to buy health insurance, but she says also, I'm going to give you a lot of choice. It's not going to be like single payer, and you can choose from private plans, or you can choose from a plan that's like Medicare. Now, both of those plans are really a backdoor into total government takeover of the healthcare sector.
Right. Eventually.
Senator Obama.
And when that happens, Regina, would that not be tantamount to nationalizing healthcare?
Absolutely.
The healthcare industry.
Absolutely. The more the government pays, the worse it is for the people. And also the worse it is for the great innovators we have right now who are unraveling the genome so that we could finally understand the genetic causes of diseases and design drugs that knock out those genes or silence them. So it's really bad news.
Well, you know, the one of the things that I try to focus on more and more, and I encourage my audience to focus on, is the exercise of seeking excellence. And I believe the marketplace is where excellence will be found, not the government. I mean, find me an example of where the government did anything for you and me that where excellence. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that there aren't some things that they don't do effectively, but I mean where excellence is possible. And I don't think the government's capable of that. What do you think?
Well, the reason we have excellence is because we have entrepreneurs who come up with good ideas.
And
then we have competition, so the best one rises. Now, what kind of entrepreneur is going to work for the government? Or what kind of entrepreneur is going to work in a system where the government is the only payer? Because their decisions are political decisions. They're not market-based value for the money kinds of decisions. So Toyota and Dell became market words because those guys, Michael Dell and Mr. Toyota in Japan, Toyota knew how to make cars better and cheaper. Dell knew how to make PCs better and cheaper, and they came to us. Would those guys work for government, please?
No, that's exactly right. And the thing that I really wish we could, we came so close to getting small business health plans through a couple of years ago. I really believe, Regina, that if we could get our small business health plans passed as a federal law that blanketed the country, cut across all the state boundaries, I really believe that single law would be one of the most important social constructs that we've ever had. Maybe even more important than Social Security. I don't know if you think that's an overstatement or not.
Well, I think it would be very important to free up small businesses. After all the job growth in the United States comes from small businesses.
Yep.
And small businesses get screwed when it comes to the purchase of health insurance.
Well said. So I like the way you put a fine point on things, Regina. I'm sorry, I've got to wrap it up. I love having you here. The book is called Who Killed Healthcare? She's also a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. That's Manhattan-Institute.com. Thank you for being here, Regina. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Leap Year Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.